How about Mark Letieri on the guitar? That's Bobby Sparks and Sean Martin over there on keyboards. Okay.
WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about Flaming Cheese as we are.
CT Pittsburgh, meaty, and full of flavor since 1949.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Well, my friends, if you're hearing this message, and it is a special message, it is because we are at the start of my paternity leave. Yes, it's been, I mean, it feels like it's been 3 years of pregnancy for my fiance, but I'm told it's been like 9.5 months. But I'm telling you, it's been like 3 years in my head. That phase is coming to an end, and I am going to be taking a little bit of time off. If you want to follow the news and adventure, at some point I will post something to my social media, but who knows what it's going to be like on the other side. So we've got some great themed episodes coming up for you. We've got a lot of different things planned. The news will continue and we will be here with you in one form or another. And then eventually I'm going to be back. It's quite exciting times. 2022, all of these incredible things. And I will be back with everybody. So keep an eye on my social media. Exciting times. Enjoy this next episode. The 2022 midterms are upcoming, and today we take a deep dive into the candidates, what's at stake, what happens after the midterms, and what to expect between now and November of this year. One of the things I try to avoid on this show is to be hyperbolic. And when people are going crazy about something and it's really no big deal, I try to just say, this is really not that big of a deal. Let's talk about it, but let's talk about it in sort of sober and reasonable terms. But that is very much not the case when it comes to the peril that is on the horizon if Republicans were to win the 2022 midterm elections in what are just a few months now, quite frankly. And when I say democracy is in jeopardy if Republicans take the House in 2022, I say it with the caveat that this is not a hyperbolic claim. And increasingly, I mean, the bad thing is that democracy is in peril if Republicans win. The good thing is increasingly people are understanding this peril and this risk. Republicans and Democrats, who are so similar on so many issues, we've talked about it before. Here's a whole bunch of issues on which there's really no significant difference between Republicans and Democrats. How could it be that if Republicans take one chamber of Congress, it would have such a major impact? And the answer is that it is because of the destructive potential that the series of events that could be unleashed by Republicans taking control of the House is so significant that it could be the catalyst for a disaster for democracy. And let's just think it through. First, we know that Republicans see their 2020 failure as a failure to steal the election. What I mean by that is when you hear Republicans talk about 2020, most of them, I mean, okay, Mitt Romney's the exception, Liz Cheney's the exception, but for the most part, when you hear Trump, people associated with the Trump White House, the more weaponized Republicans in the House and Senate, when they talk about what happened in 2020, their view is we just didn't do enough to take the election from the guy who won it. They don't think, you know, next time we should really win by appealing to more voters and getting more people to vote for us. That would be the normal reaction. That would be the pro-democracy reaction. Not enough. We didn't convince enough people. Let's be better at convincing people to vote for us. No, they think we can win next time by better working to take the election, even when we don't win it, using different techniques or being better with the techniques that we used in 2022, but we just didn't do enough of. So with a midterm 2022 win, they would be far better to carry out that upending of democracy in 2024. That's a very dangerous thing. Secondly, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and others in that cohort have said, if we win in 2022, we're going to investigate Joe Biden. We're going to investigate Hunter Biden, who has nothing to do with the administration. We will end the January 6th committee if it's still going on. We will impeach Joe Biden and on and on and on. They've said that that's what they're going to do. Disaster. And thirdly, they've said if they win, they will quickly work to help the Trump rioters avoid consequences to any extent that they can, effectively rewarding the rioters for what they did on January 6th of 2021. Now, in response to this, Nancy Pelosi, who I am not a fan of, Nancy Pelosi recently said, quote, "It is absolutely essential for our democracy that we win. I fear for our democracy if the Republicans were ever to get the gavel. We can't let that happen." And some people are like, oh, she's being hyperbolic. But remember that Canadian political scientist Thomas Homer Dixon, who we interviewed recently, he also wrote and explained to us during the interview that the United States could be under a right-wing dictatorship by 2030. And when I asked him, well, what, talk to us about the sequence. What are the initial steps and the precursor steps to a right-wing dictatorship in 2030 include Trump winning in 2024. And a precursor to that would, of course, be Republicans taking the House in 2022. So the stakes are absolutely huge. And if we just say what's most likely, I'm not saying throw in the towel. I'm not saying don't try. If anything, what I'm saying is we've got to try. The more likely outcome, even though Nancy Pelosi won't admit it, is that Republicans take the House in 2022. If nothing significant changes, Republicans only have to flip 5 seats, remember, to take control of the House in November. That's the most likely outcome, that they are able to flip at least 5 seats. It is a very small margin of error for Democrats. Now, the other aspect to all of this is, of course, is the Department of Justice going to act at all to show that what took place in 2020 simply cannot happen again and truly hold people accountable? I have no emotional investment in Merrick Garland one way or the other, but it's increasingly looking like Merrick Garland is sort of spineless. And we're going to talk later. Trump is again asking Putin to help him find dirt on people. This time, Hunter Biden. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But it doesn't seem Merrick Garland wants to do anything. We've got these Manhattan investigators who resigned, including Mark Pomerantz, saying, we had good evidence that Trump committed crimes. If we tried some of these cases, we would likely win. But it doesn't seem any charges are coming there, and multiple prosecutors have resigned as a result. A federal judge recently said, and we talked about it earlier this week, it's pretty apparent that Donald Trump committed felonies, and yet, what? Nothing? The Department of Justice seems to be completely feckless, and you have to understand that this is bigger than just Merrick Garland. In general, number one, the checks and balances that we have are checks and balances, but they never accounted for someone like Trump. They just didn't. And we talked about this during the Trump era. And the federal bureaucracy in general has never really held presidents accountable in any serious way. So about 10 different things have to happen, including Democrats earning more votes, the DOJ taking this seriously. And unfortunately, it sort of seems like many Democrats are more willing to allow the possibility of democracy dying than to take the gloves off and saying, hey, you know what? We do have to do some unprecedented things, but that's because we've already had unprecedented circumstances. The Trump presidency was already unprecedented. And when that's the case, you might have to take unprecedented action. Very scary times ahead. And it is not hyperbolic to say that democracy is in peril. As yet another example of this, let's talk about yet another request from Donald Trump to Vladimir Putin.
You know, on this show, sometimes we'll look at the wacky and zany and kooky things that right-wingers say, and we'll laugh and we'll say, oh, it's so silly and it's so dumb. But we don't necessarily always worry for the future of humanity and the United States and our legislative bodies on the basis of, you know, every random thing that Marjorie Taylor Greene or whoever necessarily says. I have an example today of something for you that does make me really worried about the future of American democracy, quite frankly, because of the level of ignorance that it shows, combined with a sort of brazen confidence, despite that ignorance, and the reality that this may be someone who is going to be one of only 100 senators in the United States. Herschel Walker is a Trump-endorsed Republican Senate candidate running in the state of Georgia. And Herschel Walker recently asked, you know, if there's evolution, if evolution is real, and we humans, Homo sapiens, evolved from apes, why are there still apes on the planet? If the apes evolved to become humans, why are there still apes? We're going to look at the video in a moment. There are more than 331 million people in the United States. Only 100 at a time get to be members of one of the most powerful legislative bodies in the country, the United States Senate. One of those 100 might be someone who questions the truth of evolution because there are still monkeys on planet Earth. Let's take a look at the clip. This is genuinely depressing. It really brings me, I have fear and despair because of this. I have no pleasure. This is not fun.
Here, that means somebody up there had to say, let there be light, that the earth started, and then he had to put someone there on earth. Because remember, Adam was there. Remember, Adam came there, then Eve came. So somebody had to start it out. So that means it had to be a God. Because it didn't just, some bomb blew up and it started out. And then I tell you something.
Now, we're going to get to the really crazy part. This idea that, listen, if there was some first human, here's the first human, because you start this is not new stuff. We're treading on very worn ground here. The idea that you sometimes hear from creationists is, well, OK, listen, I came from a human mother and my mother came from a human mother and my grandmother came from a human mother. And so if you just follow that, at some point there was the first human mother, and therefore that person must have been created like that by a God or higher power. And of course, when you understand the slow process of evolution and you understand how that works, you realize that the premise is wrong. It's logical to think if ad infinitum, it was my mom and her mom and her mom and her mom and her mom, and it was just all modern humans. Right. You might end up saying, well, I mean, somebody must have designed and created that first human. But we understand that that's not the case. So this alone, we could spend an hour on. But let's get to the really wacky part that's getting a lot of attention.
As I heard, and I think about this, because at one time, science said man came from apes.
It's not at one time, by the way. But yeah, OK.
Did it not?
Every time I read or hear that, I think to myself, you just didn't read the same Bible I did.
Well, this was interesting, though. If that is true, why are there still apes? Think about
Whoa.
It.
You know, now you're getting too smart for
no,
us.
No. Sure. Think about this. We have an evolution that is, we've gotten so intelligent that if that is true, why are there still apes? And then the conception of a baby. Let me tell you, science can't do that. They're still
on.
Trying to do it.
Come on.
But it can't because there had to be a God. So when God came.
OK, now, this is not actually a crazy question. I mean, you go to third or fourth grade when I think that's when kids start being taught about evolution. There are lots of curious, naive, wide eyed, bushy tailed 8 and 9 year olds who would say, hey, but if we came from apes, why are there still apes? Didn't the apes become human? And of course, there's an answer. Humans did not evolve from a modern living ape, like a modern chimpanzee. We evolved and descended from a common ancestor of apes. We share a common ancestor. That's the best science we have right now, which lived and died in the distant past. And that means we're related to other apes. And we and those other apes came from an earlier ape of some kind. Now, that's an 8 or 9 year old that would ask that. Imagine if Herschel Walker becomes a senator. I mean, really think, you know, we have 331 million people in this country to pick from. Some of them are kids, so we're not literally. OK, but we've got hundreds of millions of people to choose from. How do we solve really serious problems in this country inequality, poverty, education, hunger, climate change, when we have it's just 100 people in the Senate, and at least one of them, there might be others in the Senate who believe the same stuff. But when one of your 100 is a senator saying, if evolution is real, why are there still apes on planet Earth? How do we solve problems if that's the case? We can't. And so when we wonder, man, why politics is so log jammed and we're not getting anywhere, and it's these, you know, trivial arguments about stupid stuff and people getting fined for not wearing masks and people who think the vaccines modify your DNA. How we have 331 million people. The Senate has 100 members representing those people. And a guy who's saying, if evolution is real, why are there still monkeys on Earth, has a genuine shot at becoming one of those 100 and is endorsed by former President Donald Trump. It doesn't bode well. It doesn't bode well. And it is not funny. It stopped being funny a while ago.
I want to talk about a ridiculous performance by Pennsylvania Republican Senate candidate Mehmet Oz. And this is the guy, many know it as Dr. Oz. We are doing everything we can to just refer to him as Mehmet Oz, because saying Dr. Oz almost, it's like it's useful to him in some way. Oz is running in Pennsylvania. As I mentioned, the leading Democratic primary opponent is a guy named John Fetterman, who we're going to try to get on the show. Very interesting candidate. And Mehmet Oz apparently wanted to make the point that groceries are expensive. This is part of the inflation story that Republicans have been telling. But Republicans don't want to tell the story in good faith. There's been inflation. Gas prices are high. But it's not Joe Biden's fault. This is happening globally. But Republicans want to tell the story that it is Joe Biden's fault. So what Mehmet Oz did is make a very performative trip to a local grocery store. And his point at the grocery store is, look how expensive it is to buy some vegetables. This is actually an opportunity for Mehmet Oz to do something useful at the grocery store, but he doesn't. And I'm going to explain that in a second. Let's first take a look at the video.
Thought I'd do some grocery shopping. I'm at Wegner's, and my wife wants some vegetables for crudite, right? So here's a broccoli. That's $2. Not a ton of broccoli there. Here's some asparagus. That's $4. Yep. Carrots. That's $4 more. That's $10 of vegetables there. And then we need some guacamole. That's $4 more. And she loves salsa. Yeah, there's salsa there. $6. Must be a shortage of salsa. Guys, that's $20 for crudite, and this doesn't include the tequila. I mean, that's outrageous. We got Joe Biden to thank for this.
Okay, so he makes a show. By the way, do we believe he's really there shopping? I don't. He makes a show of picking up a $2 piece of broccoli and a $4 asparagus and a $4. It's an enormous bag of carrots for four. I think it's a 5-pound bag. $4 guacamole, $6 salsa. So it's $20 for his crudite ingredients. So first of all, salsa for crudite? No, that's the first red flag here. That makes absolutely no sense. Why are you getting salsa for crudite? But that's a culinary critique, but it exposes that this is probably all BS. But secondly, it's obviously super staged to make a political point. He's not out really shopping for crudite to make for his guests. It's absurd. It's like when Mitt Romney went out to shop and all he had in his cart was just boxes and boxes of yogurt and I think like seltzer. It was really weird. It wasn't believable. It was during his presidential campaign. But this is really a missed opportunity. Instead of complaining about prices and buying things that don't even make sense for the dish you claim to be making, as a doctor, and here's where it is relevant that he's a medical doctor, he should be explaining to people how to more economically buy vegetables, which most Americans aren't getting enough of, buying too many processed foods. Now, he's a doctor who's promoted quack cures on his show, cures for colds that are completely unproven, all sorts of weird supplements and different things. And then when he actually has an opportunity to talk people in a real way about nutrition, he talks about inflation and tries to blame Joe Biden. He could have gone and said, hey, you know what? Instead of processed foods, here's how you can get real foods cheaply and make them last. This would be value. If any member of Congress did this, Republican or Democrat, I would applaud them. This is a big problem in the United States. People don't know what's healthy. They don't understand how to economically have healthier foods. Food products, highly processed, are promoted to them. He could go in and go, see this monstrous 5-pound bag of carrots? It's $4. And that's a good deal. Cut up some of the carrots, get hummus for $3. That's a great snack. Take some carrots and grate them onto your salads to get more, whatever, I don't remember, I'm not a doctor, is it vitamin A, whatever carrots have, beta carotene. Take some carrots, put a little avocado or olive oil or even canola oil on them, salt and pepper, roast them. Now you've got great sides for your lunches instead of potato chips for the entire week. That's a great use of a 5-pound bag of carrots. Instead, it's a confused guy claiming to be making crudité with salsa. Hey, let me tell you about vegetables that are the best value in the grocery store. We should all be doing more to eat healthy. Get yourself sweet potatoes. Get the bulk bag, roast them alongside your carrots. Keep them as a side dish. For breakfast, get some eggs. Toss some cubed up, already cooked sweet potato. Fry an egg. And then have a handful of blueberries or, you know, whatever the case may be. These are ideas to buy in larger quantities, don't have food waste, and eat healthier than a highly processed whatever it is, you know, the granola bars or whatever it is you're having for, you know, sugary cereal, whatever. It's really a wasted opportunity for a doctor to really provide something of value and show that he's the type of voice we should be saying, we need more of that in the Senate. We need, this is exactly what we need more of in the Senate. He does something cheap. It adds nothing to the conversation other than playing the same political games. That's Mehmet Oz running in Pennsylvania. Let me know your thoughts. Find me on Twitter at @dpacman. We'll take a quick break. What a Friday program we have for you today.
Let's continue our tour of different races across the country, some of them scarier than others. Today, we're going to look at California Republican Secretary of State candidate Rachel Ham, who has decided to run for office because her son found Jesus inside a closet in her house. This is really wacky stuff, and we are going to look at a couple of clips of her. Here is Rachel Ham, again, candidate for Secretary of State in California. She's a Republican, talking to us about how she is trying to use prayer to steal votes back. So this is very convoluted. She believes Democrats are stealing votes, and she's going to pray for God to send angels to steal the votes back. Now, why wouldn't God just prevent the vote theft to begin with? We'll never know, but take a listen to this.
I would pray that I win.
Yep.
One thing that I've been doing is praying that if anyone tries to steal a vote, that God would send the angels to steal the vote back, to make it an honest vote.
Yeah.
I think we might as well ask. I mean, right. Angels are, you know, they can do things. They can do jobs. So I think we should give
a lot of them are actually in unions. They prefer union work.
A job with the election. Help us make it an honest one. So angels, if there are any fake ballots that have been produced, burn them up, find them and destroy them. If votes are flipped in the machines, you know, flipped away from the candidate someone voted for, flip it back. And I don't care which way, if it's from me to someone else, because that's what's honest. Just make it an honest vote.
Right.
So I'm not asking for cheating. I'm not asking the angels to cheat. I'm asking the angels to prevent cheating.
Right. Now, with all of these things, I always kind of apply kind of like an Occam's razor thing, which is, first of all, if there is a God, is God really concerned with the election of the California Secretary of State, or would God be more worried about bigger issues? And then they can come back and say, well, God is all powerful and God is all knowing. So God is involved in everything. God's involved in does that banana that you ate, does it have food poisoning? Are you going to get sick from the banana, or is it God's involved in everything? OK, well, so why is she even running? She explained that she's running because of something about Jesus being in her closet.
What was the reason behind deciding to run for this office? I mean, you've got a lot of things.
First of all, I'm a prophetic dreamer. So I had spent a lot of 2019 and 20 having a lot of political dreams that I was in office.
Right.
And because our youngest son, Ezekiel, is a seer, I went and got him. And I said, hey, can you look around and see what you're seeing?
And now there's a real question as to whether her son, through heredity, became a seer, or whether it's something he learned.
I just really, I get a kick out of hearing him describe, you know, what he sees. And so I said, you know, let me know if you see anything. And so he looked in my bedroom and my bathroom and he said, there's nothing there. And then he goes into the closet, which is where I had been when I was praying.
Right.
And he said, whoa. And his eyes got like big as saucers. And he kind of like started backing away and they started bending down. And he said, you've got a really big guy in your closet. And his power is pushing me to the ground. Mm. And we had never had, he'd never had that reaction ever.
Wow.
To an angel. And so I'm like, is he, he's for us, not against us, right? Because I was sure, you know, like, this is a different response. And he's like, he's full of light. He's so full of light. I can't even see his face. And then he said, and he has a scroll in his hand.
Mm.
And so I was like, then he came with a message. Like, what is the message? And the message was a commissioning. So at the very end, I asked him what his name was, because I thought, what angel is this, you know? And he said, Emmanuel.
Right.
That wasn't an angel. That wasn't an angel. That was Jesus himself.
There you go.
And so that's why I'm running for Secretary of State.
Yep.
So it's kind of a...
The kid also found an angel in her washing machine, and then it turned out it was actually fabric softener. So what do we do about that? Hopefully she loses. We'll know that it was legit because at this point, God and Jesus and angels are so involved that if they can't get her over the finish line, nothing can. But this is unfortunately, this is very common in the United States. And I know it's really scary for a lot of our viewers around the world and for children to hear this stuff because it is pretty freaky. But that's a candidate. That's a candidate, folks. Sarah Palin is running for Congress. Sarah Palin is the, for our younger viewers, she was a sort of precursor to the Trump types. This is actually a really interesting political history moment. Bush, George W. Bush was kind of dim. And the thing about him is he's not really, all of it led to Trump, but he's not really the pre-Trump mold in the sense that he was actually a neocon. Bush was a neocon. Palin was kind of the first, what I call sort of like a dumbicon, where it's like the main thing is you don't know anything. With Bush, he didn't know much, but he was still a neocon at heart. Palin was the first sliver of what eventually was Trump and Trumpism, which is they're just clueless reactionaries lacking any real ideology. And she was the late John McCain's running mate in 2008. They fortunately lost to Barack Obama. And she is now running for Congress. Sarah Palin files to run for the late Alaska Representative Don Young's seat. Sarah Palin filed with the FEC on Friday for the special election. She said, America is at a tipping point. As I've watched the far left destroy the country, I knew I had to step up and join the fight. Palin filed an hour before Friday's filing deadline. There are 50 candidates in the field. So for the we'll have plenty of time to talk about Sarah Palin more. But for those who maybe don't remember her, she was known for the word salad before Trump perfected it. Here's one example from an interview in 2016 with Jake Tapper, a visibly disoriented Sarah Palin here.
You talked about inconsistencies among the votes of and the positions of Senator Cruz. Donald Trump is somebody who has clearly had different positions on issues that he has today, including an issue very near and dear to your heart, the issue of abortion and life.
Right.
Have you talked to him about that? He used to be, he called himself very pro-choice. Now he says he's very pro-life. Have you talked
about
it?
I am so glad that Mr. Trump has seen the light and understands the sanctity of innocent life and how a baby in the womb should be most protected. What has been kind of sad about the situation, though, politically speaking, are groups that are pro-life and they want to bring more people into the fold. They've given Trump a hard time for his past views on abortion, where they're celebrating others, like I was going through a list. Like Justin Bieber.
What?
And, gosh.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, who has made...
this is Jake Tapper's best moment, where he looks perplexed and goes, Justin Bieber? Yeah, I don't know either, Jake.
Understanding the sanctity of life, but in the past, he said it was no big deal to him, you know. He's just one example. But I've heard that these same groups celebrate people who have, I've been to their fundraisers, I've spoken at their events, and there's usually someone in the crowd, every single one of these crowds, who will testify to having seen the light, you know, to understand, oh, I get.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping that she does some debates. Here's one more example. Again, for our young viewers, here is Sarah Palin speaking at a Trump event. And really just an incredible word salad.
Immigrants welcoming.
This is like a chop chop. They've really chopped it all up and it's just like confetti.
Them in, even inducing and seducing them with gift baskets. Come on over the border and we'll, here's a gift basket of teddy bears and soccer balls. Our kids and our grandkids, they'll never know then what it is to be rewarded for that entrepreneurial spirit that God creates within us. In order to work and to produce and to strive and to thrive and to really be alive. Wisconsin, Reagan saved the hog. Here, you're Harley Davidson. It was Reagan.
It made as little sense then as it does now. And we can only hope that Sarah Palin will be participating in debates. So Sarah Palin is running another notable race in 2020, much ahead when it comes to the midterms. Let's go next to Sam from Minnesota. Sam from Minnesota, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. How's my volume?
Your volume's beautiful.
Okay. Do you really think Beto O'Rourke is a good gubernatorial candidate for Democrats in Texas? You know, he had a statewide race in 2018 and lost to Ted Cruz, of all people. And that was before he told Texans, hell yeah, I'm coming for your guns. So I don't really have another candidate in mind, but yeah, with so many people in Texas, do you really think Beto's the best Texas Democrats have to offer?
I don't know. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week when on the bonus show, the topic of Beto running. I think what Beto has going for him are a couple different things. Number one, name recognition to some degree. Now, name recognition can be bad, as you point out, if he's known to Texas Republicans as the guy who wants to take your guns. So name recognition can be a double-edged sword. I think Beto also has going for him that he can definitely rebut Greg Abbott's failed policy very well and directly and eloquently and articulately. But I don't know if he's the best person to run against Abbott. But I'm with you in that I can't really think of anybody else. So I'm excited about the idea that because Abbott's approval is in the toilet, maybe someone with name recognition like Beto could actually sweep in and do a good job. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier in the week, they're going to run against him on, hey, these Democrats want to take your guns. Forget about the COVID disaster. Forget about the electricity disaster. Beto's going to take your guns. I think that could be a problem, but I don't have any better ideas right now.
That's fair. The other day you were talking about how you felt the interviews with families of anti-vax people who died of COVID felt really exploitative.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've thought of a term for that kind of thing, and I want to know what you think of it.
Yeah.
Vaxploitation.
Vaxploitation. Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is that could mean exploiting people who did get it or who didn't. I mean, it's not super precise, but it's not a bad idea. I kind of like it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a play on the old blaxploitation films.
What about anti-vaxploitation?
Maybe.
Okay.
It's getting a little long at that.
It's a little
point,
too long. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. No, I mean, do you agree that sometimes those interviews feel a little exploitative and like disaster porny?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of, you know, these new shows that are looking for content.
Yeah, fair. All right, I appreciate the call.
Oh, sure. I was about to ask you if you think we'll be back to normal by mid-22. But
I think we'll be back to normal by mid-32.
Okay.
No, I have no idea. I don't know. I hope so, but who knows? I think COVID's going to be around a couple years at least.
Sure, thanks.
Yeah. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's speak to some other people because there's really a lot of people here who want to get on. Let's go next to Alicia from Cancun, Mexico. You're on the air. Hello. Alicia from Cancun. You're on. If you unmute, we'll be able to hear you. And last opportunity for Alicia/Alicia from Cancun. You must unmute to speak to me. Otherwise, the tubes won't work. All right. That's too bad. Let's stay in Cancun and go to Eric from Cancun instead. Eric, are you on the air? Eric from Cancun, you're on. Wow. Something must be going on with the internet there in Cancun. Let's go next to, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Is it Ishan from Amherst?
Yeah, that's correct. Hey, David, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you.
Thanks for picking up my phone call. So my question to you is, on Sunday, the parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough ruled that the Democrats can't include all the immigration provisions in the reconciliation bill. Now, the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin, they're all being like, oh, we have plan B. We're going to go back to her with another proposal. My question to you is, why are they begging an unelected official? Why can't they simply overrule her or ignore her? I know that in 2001, Republicans did the same thing. They sure. probably fired the parliamentarian when millions of lives are at stake. Do you have any, do you know, like, why are they just like not playing hardball and like just like ignoring her altogether?
Ishan, just, like, I agree with you completely. This notion that now is sort of like just assumed to be true, that the parliamentarian just gets to decide. I challenge that. And I've read a couple of good pieces arguing that you don't it's sort of like by tradition that the parliamentarian is given the ability to weigh in on these things, and that times have sort of changed, and that, quite frankly, I mean, this term has a negative connotation, but they could just steamroll the parliamentarian if they wanted and then deal with it later. Let Republicans say I'm against it because it's out of order, right, or whatever. But I completely agree with you, and I think it's ridiculous the way they're handling the parliamentarian.
But do you think there's any chance with Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema in the Senate that they're going to even like think about bringing the bill with the provisions on the floor and let Kamala Harris just ignore her ruling?
I don't. I think it depends on the bill, to be perfectly honest. I'm not sure. I think it depends. I think there maybe, yes, I'd have to think a little more about that.
Hey, thank you so much, David. Thank you so much for taking my phone call. I don't know if you remember, but like I called last year too and we talked, but yeah, probably not. But thank you so much.
Remind me, Ishan, are you in Amherst, Massachusetts or Amherst, New York?
Amherst, Massachusetts. I go to UMass.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Oh my God. I just heard 350 positive cases last week at UMass.
Yeah, there was like a party in an off-campus gathering, townhouses.
Yeah.
Honestly speaking, if I'm going to level with you, I've stopped caring because I feel like there's nothing I can do. People are going to party left and right.
Yeah.
I can't help it. So like, there's no point like thinking about it. Just like, it just is not conducive to my own well-being. I cannot focus on other stuff.
I totally sympathize with that. Yeah. Which townhouses was the party at?
The townhouses, which is like in Sunderland.
Oh, those townhouses. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
They were like a mass congregation. And I feel like there's nothing I can do that's going to change to drive the numbers one way or the other.
Yeah.
So what's the point of stressing out about it? I'm fully vaccinated. I take care of myself. I'm just moving on. I just like live my own life. Whatever happens, happens. I can't do anything at this point.
I understand, Ishan. It sounds like you're doing all the right things anyway, so.
Yeah. Thank you so much, David.
All right. Pleasure. There's Ishan from UMass, my undergraduate alma mater. Wow. What a call. Now let's go to something that is very, very good for Trump. This is genuinely scary. The Pennsylvania gubernatorial race also had its primary yesterday. Now, on the Democratic side, running unopposed is the state's attorney general, Josh Shapiro, a relatively unremarkable Democrat. Smart from everything I've seen, likable, perfectly reasonable, uncontroversial guy, just normal guy, would be a normal governor. On the other side, on the Republican side, the winner of the gubernatorial primary is a guy named Doug Mastriano, who pretty easily won with a 24-point margin over the second place candidate, Lou Barletta. Doug Mastriano is an extraordinarily dangerous, weaponized conspiracy theorist, Trumpist, who was in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol on January 6th, who has promulgated so-called Stop the Steal conspiracies, who has played coy with QAnon phraseology. And remember that the governor appoints the Secretary of State, the person in charge of running Pennsylvania's elections. This is really scary stuff. Really, really scary stuff. We have this interesting report about Mastriano. 2 days before the Capitol riots, Mastriano said he was heading to Washington, D.C. and calling out to God for divine revelation. He used campaign funds to charter 6 buses to shuttle followers to D.C. and told them he would speak on the Capitol steps. Around 1 o'clock, rioters broke into the Capitol, some wielding Bibles, Jesus 2020 signs, and appealed to heaven flags and shofars. We'll get back to shofars. On the Senate floor, one insurrectionist called out from the dais, "Jesus Christ, we invoke your name." And of course, you know the rest of what happened on January 6th. So this is a wacky guy. He was there for the Stop the Steal rally ahead of the riots. He tried to conduct one of these Arizona style partisan reviews of the election results in Pennsylvania. He made debunked conspiracy theory claims about the election, a sort of centerpiece of his campaign in Pennsylvania. He was going to speak at a QAnon branded conference called Patriots Arise in June of 21, ended up not doing it because of the chaos in the media that was generated from the news that he would be speaking there. And the Republicans know it's really big that Mastriano won. Rudy, for example, was celebrating it, posting, I think this was on Truth Social, Rudy Giuliani writing, "Tonight, the biggest win is Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania. He's a veteran, an historian, and a true patriot. The most important quality in this election is guts to destroy the Democrat express train to Marxism and the rhinos who enable it, so the press will write nice things about them. Doug will be to Pennsylvania what Trump was for the United States." And he's not wrong. They are putting the insurrectionists inside the House. Mastriano is disgusting. Here's one wacky video. Back in January, when Mastriano announced he was running, they opened the event with the blowing of a shofar. Now, I don't know how many of you know what a shofar is. A shofar is a ram's horn. It's an element of the Jewish faith, and it's used to signify sometimes the Sabbath, sometimes the end of the fasting period at Yom Kippur. And there's actually a history of Mastriano misusing Jewish symbols. This was the start of the campaign for Mastriano.
"This people, I believe God is about to manifest himself, brother. He has to, because we cannot keep going the way we're going. Amen?
Amen.
Dear God. Okay. So Mastriano's not Jewish, and he has this history of misusing Jewish symbols as campaign props. Back in April, he spoke and raised money at a far-right Christian conference called Patriots Arise for God and Country. And they promoted conspiracy theories, including the existence of a global cabal of sex trafficking Democrats. You guys have heard this stuff before. 9/11 was a false flag. Vaccines are genocide therapy. Adolf Hitler faked his death. And once again, Jewish organizations criticized that for the improper use of campaign props. They also used a shofar there. So this is a disgusting guy, and he's a dangerous guy. The 2024 election could come down to Pennsylvania. And if Doug Mastriano gets to decide who runs that election, it's a really, really bad thing. So Pennsylvania is becoming a major area of focus. We should support Josh Shapiro for governor. We should support John Fetterman for senator. Now, the good news is, for now, that recently Democrats tend to win the governorship in Pennsylvania. So if we look at some recent elections, in 2018, the Democrat Tom Wolf won easily by 17 points. In 2014, the Democrat Tom Wolf won easily by about 9 points. In 2010, a Republican did win. Tom Corbett won by about 9 points. But then in 2006, Ed Rendell ran away with it with a 21-point win. So the hope is that it's just an overwhelming Democratic gubernatorial victory in Pennsylvania. If not, we're really up for it. And there's many different important races. Months ago, we said Pennsylvania will be a focus. Pennsylvania's gubernatorial race is quite literally a referendum on democracy. This is as big as any other issue. Just, do you support a democratic system? And if you do, you've got to vote for Josh Shapiro. And if people are looking to phone bank in a particular race, that is a race that is of significant interest. Meanwhile, one bit of good gubernatorial news from yesterday, far-right Idaho gubernatorial candidate Janice McGeachin, maybe it's pronounced McGeachin, I don't know, she lost in Idaho, and that is a very good thing. So initial results, a mixed bag, many more primaries coming next Tuesday, 6 days from today, and of course, we'll be covering all of it live. And just a quick reminder, Monday, Memorial Day, we're doing a one-day membership special. We are blowing members. We might run out of memberships, okay? We are going to offer an incredible discount off of memberships on our website, our primary funding source, on Monday, Memorial Day. If you want to be notified of how to get the discounted membership, just get on my newsletter at davidpakman.com. We have been starting to pay closer attention to particular 2022 midterm races. We're following, just to name a few, the Florida gubernatorial race, where potential 2024 presidential candidate Ron DeSantis is up for re-election as governor. We, on Monday night, had a live stream of, in the Pennsylvania Senate, we first had the Democratic primary debate, and then we had the Republican primary debate. The Republican primary debate is the one where Mehmet Oz, the TV doctor, is running. We covered that, and it was cringy and it was wacky in a lot of different ways. Another particularly disturbing race is the Arizona House race, wherein in the first Arizona congressional district, a guy named Ron Watkins is running. We've talked about Ron Watkins before. Ron Watkins is a roughly 35, 34 year old conspiracy theorist. He's the site administrator, I think he's the owner as well of the website 8KUN. This is formerly 8chan. And he has played a major role in spreading all sorts of far right QAnon conspiracy theories. He is now running in Arizona's first congressional district. He was in a debate last night, hosted by Arizona State University and the local PBS station. And there is something about this guy that is cringeworthy and extraordinarily creepy. I don't know exactly what it is. I'm going to look at a couple of clips here with you. First, just a very strange moment from his opening statement where he kind of seems to lose his train of thought, but it's all just weird.
And I will make sure that your rights are kept. Thank you.
Okay. So the entire thing got off to a very, very strange start. Now, then the question of Ukraine came up. Military aid to Ukraine. Ron Watkins tried to blame the Keystone XL pipeline for the invasion. And this led to one of the other candidates, Representative Blackmun, to basically crush Watkins. And he crushed him so brutally that Watkins had no choice to go, actually, I misspoke. My opponent is correct. This is fascinating. Check this out.
Military aid to Ukraine. What do you think, Ron?
I support military aid to Ukraine, but I want to say that we would not even be in Ukraine if President Biden did not shut down the Keystone pipeline on the first day.
What?
Because now that that's shut down, we have to get our oil, and we're getting it from Russia, and we're getting all these problems through the Ukraine, and that would not have happened if Biden did not.
So you see the Ukraine.
So this is a word salad. This is of no. He is visibly struggling to use English to communicate substance, and he is failing.
The pipeline helped prompt Russia to invade Ukraine.
Yes, sir. Because we've got all of this oil coming through from Russia to the United States, and they want the better route to bring the oil through.
Can I clarify that? This is what I'm talking about. That's not why they went into Ukraine. They went into Ukraine because Ukraine didn't want to be part of NATO. Listen, you're trying to work on a national stage and you don't even know why the war started in Ukraine. It had nothing to do with the Keystone Pipeline. The Keystone Pipeline caused the inflation and the increase in our gas prices.
Now, that's also not true. So they're both wrong. But I mean, this is just bizarre.
They went into Ukraine is because Russia wanted Ukraine as they had them pre-World War II, and Ukraine wanted to be part of NATO.
Respond, please.
He's right. I made a mistake.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, listen, if there's anything to praise Ron Watkins for here, it's that he immediately said, yeah, what I just said is completely untrue. It's absolutely and completely untrue. In another weird moment, Ron Watkins claimed that the biggest issue in the congressional, is it the first or second congressional district? Now I don't even remember. He said that the biggest issue is the border wall, even though this part of Arizona isn't actually near the border. And then he claims that he went to the border and scared coyotes away. Coyotes, not literal coyotes. Actually, I think he means coyotes in terms of like people smugglers. I don't think he means literal coyotes, but let's listen.
Biggest issue for this district is the border wall. The border wall was not completed, and there are actually sections of it that were destroyed. And I went down to those sections and I asked the locals, how did this section of the border wall get destroyed?
Right.
And they told me that Biden sent the Army Corps of Engineers down there to destroy the border wall for flood prevention issues. So I went down there and I saw with my own eyes, I saw the coyotes sitting right across the border. The coyotes looked me in the eyes and they ran away.
Right. They were so scared when Ron Watkins went down there. So bizarre stuff. And lest anybody think that Ron Watkins is the only wacky candidate, then the moderator asked Representative Walt Blackmun about his history of wanting to charge people, women seeking abortions and the doctors performing them with homicide. And he says he still supports that. So it's not only Ron Watkins that's off the rails.
I read that you have said that you said abortion doctors and women who get abortions should be charged with homicide.
Exactly. You know, that's already in our statute, the Arizona statute. If a person commits abortion or kills a baby while in the womb, it's under our criminal statute. I didn't make the law up. The law has already been there. What I did was codify that law. Now, going back and changing that and amending that, what I have done is allow women to be able to seek services, counseling services for what they need. Now, here's the deal.
So basically, he's willing not to charge women with murder if instead they go to one of these counseling services where the term counselor is not a regulated term. It's not a therapist, where they go to like a Christian counselor who talks you out of getting the abortion.
There are more babies being aborted than born every day. Now, the problem that I see is that is not part of the conversation. And if I have to do something to save the black community of babies being aborted in a record number, guess what? I'm going to do it. But we need to save all babies. When we have states like California and New York that are pushing late-term abortion, that are pushing infanticide, and we stand and do...
And remember, no one's pushing it.
Nothing. It's time for us to take a stand for life. It's time for us to get on the side of God. And it's time for us to protect these children that are being murdered in the womb.
Homicide at what level? How far should the pregnancy be when it's homicide? Conception?
Conception.
Conception.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Can you imagine? Homicide for a, you know, 5-week abortion. I mean, this is some people don't like this term. This is dark ages stuff. Okay, one more clip. The moderator asks, two more clips. The moderator asks Ron Watkins, how would you have reacted as a congressman on the day of the Trump riots?
We'll start with you. How would you have reacted as a congressman on January 6th?
On January 6th, as a congressman, I would have texted President Trump and told him, please call this off, because it got out of hand pretty quickly.
Do you think he had the power to do that?
He did call it off, but he took a while to do so.
If he had the power to call it off, do you think he had the power to call it on?
I don't know. So he had invited all these people out there, and surely there must have been some kind of intel going on. But I don't know. It was meant to be a peaceful protest, and there were some people that got in there and did some bad things, and those people should be prosecuted, the ones that did the bad things. But
right.
For the majority of the people that were there, 99.99%, It was a peaceful protest and there was no issue.
So 99.99% of the people that we saw on television storming the U.S. Capitol, walking the halls, defacing the Capitol, these were...
Well, I just told you that there were people doing bad things and there were millions of people there and there was just a few people that millions? Were...
I've seen... Oh, yeah.
The people at that rally and at the Capitol? Millions?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there were not millions of people there, as of course we all know. And then lastly here, Ron Watkins actually asked about his relationship to QAnon. He just denies the entire thing.
Ron, some people say that a lot of this was stoked by QAnon. What is your relationship with QAnon?
I have no relationship with QAnon.
None at all?
None at all.
The reports are that your bulletin board sites hosted postings that launched QAnon conspiracies.
So I ran a free speech website and I was the administrator. And there were many thousands of people that posted on those sites. Q was just one of those, and I do not know who it was, and I'm not that person.
Yeah. And of course, he spent months and months and months parroting QAnon stuff in a cringeworthy fashion. So the closer we look at a lot of these individual races, it's all bad choices. It's bad and then worse. And unfortunately, a lot of these people may end up winning in November. We'll have these clips on our Instagram at David Pakman Show, for those who are gluttons for punishment and want to take a look at them.
Those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem. One that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I want to be very clear about what happened tonight. The right-wing billionaires outspent us 3-1.
San Francisco voters recall progressive district attorney Chesa Boudin, who aimed to reform the criminal justice system but was faced with well-funded attacks from the real estate industry. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, the mayoral race is now down to a billionaire versus longtime progressive lawmaker Karen Bass. We'll get the latest. Then President Biden heads to Los Angeles for the Summit of the Americas as Mexico skips the event, joined by, among others, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, Bolivia, and Mexico to protest the exclusion of Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua.
There cannot be a Summit of the Americas if all the American continent countries do not participate.
Meanwhile, Biden will be meeting with far-right Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro at the summit. We'll speak with Salvadoran American journalist Roberto Lovato and Venezuelan American professor Alejandro Velasco. We'll also hear from a member of an indigenous delegation from Ecuador's Amazon who's been excluded from the summit in Los Angeles and get an update on the search for British journalist Dom Phillips and Brazilian indigenous protector Bruno Pereira, who've gone missing in Brazil's Amazon after receiving death threats for their work.
Even if I don't find the love of my life alive, they have to be found. Please intensify their search.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Voters on Tuesday went to the polls for primaries in 7 states, California, Iowa, Montana, New Mexico, South Dakota, New Jersey, and Mississippi. In one of the closely watched races, voters in San Francisco recalled Chesa Boudin as district attorney of San Francisco. Boudin is a progressive prosecutor who aimed to reform the criminal justice system, but he faced mounting attacks by the real estate industry, Republicans, and some Democrats. In Los Angeles, mayoral race, billionaire real estate developer Rick Caruso and former Congressmember Karen Bass are headed to a runoff in November after placing first and second in Tuesday's primary. Caruso is a Republican-turned-Democrat who sits on the board of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. Caruso spent at least $39 million of his own fortune on the race. Bass is attempting to become the first female mayor of Los Angeles and the city's second black mayor. Meanwhile, in Montana, Donald Trump's former Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, is in a close race in a Republican primary to win back his old House seat. We'll have more on the primaries after headlines. Bipartisan negotiations on new federal gun laws are continuing in the Senate, but several key proposals are already off the table, including a new federal ban on assault weapons, new background checks, and new restrictions on high-capacity ammunition magazines. Instead, lawmakers are focusing on school safety and mental illness. On Tuesday, Congress heard testimony from the son of 86-year-old Ruth Whitfield, who was gunned down by a white supremacist last month at a Buffalo grocery store with 9 other black shoppers. Garnell Whitfield urged Congress to act.
And ask yourself, is there nothing that we can do
Is there nothing that you personally are willing to do to stop the cancer of white supremacy and the domestic terrorism it inspires? Because if there is nothing, then, respectfully, senators, you should yield your positions of authority and influence to others that are willing to lead on this issue. My mother's life mattered.